But I know you, you're going to order the Johnny Walker Black, and then, you know, that'll be my editorial budget for the whole year gone.
Sadly, I'm not that much of a whiskey drinker, hey? Yeah. And that is a great way to start episode. Where are we now, Gavin? 128.
Unbelievable.
Of the Overclocked ZA podcast. I am Lindsay Shooters. I am joined, as always, by the editor of the continent's biggest consumer technology publication, cleverly known as Tech Magazine, Gavin Dudley.
Hello. Still alive, barely.
Yes, we are in different cities. I flew for the first time since the before times.
Mm.
And I am in Joburg to attend the Huawei Band 6 launch.
Mm. Now, I feel a bit jilted because, as far as I know, I think Huawei also launched the Watch 3 today. Now, I'm like a big fan of the Watch GT2. Now, they've gone on to the Watch 3, and I've seen that in the international things, but I haven't seen them locally say anything about that. So maybe they'll surprise you with it tomorrow, but I'll be very distraught if they launch it internationally and not locally. You know?
I did ask if I could ask questions about it, or at least Harmony OS. Obviously, it was Harmony OS's big time to shine today, released to the world.
Very exciting.
In a very Apple-like presentation. Like, they even had, like, the concentric circles.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's like, kind of saddening.
Standing next to, like, screen and everything coming. And it's like, guys, why?
Derivative. Can you spell derivative? Yeah.
And then they put out, so it was the Watch 3. It was the Tab Pros. There's a 10-inch, 10.8, and a bigger one, I forget. And what was it? The Mate View.
Okay, which would be what, a tablet?
No, it's a 24-inch monitor.
Oh yes, I saw that. No, it's all very iMac-like, I have to say.
Yeah. It was more like the Pro display.
Like
the design is exactly like the Pro display. But awesomely, I think it's a Miracast kind of machine.
Ah, so you can cast onto it from your device.
Yes, so you can use the Huawei One Hop, which is the Harmony OS's way of, like, tapping the thing, and then the screen goes there. There was a lot of that stuff. Did you watch any of it?
No. Bits and pieces, not all of it. Yeah.
There was a lot of, like, the screens can just go immediately, and then, like, me time will move. I don't know how, but just seamlessly from your phone to your MateBook to your tab.
So listeners, what is the thing we've been hammering on about probably for the last few years, but definitely for the last few episodes? It's how the phone can become the desktop computer. And Lindsay's kind of got platinum colors in that already. I've got, you know, bronze colors coming up. But, I mean, the point here is that it's possible that with this kind of monitor, they come a bit closer to that. So, you know, now you've just got the external monitor, which you pair with the phone, and away you go, potentially, right?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly the way they showed it. Mm. So it's wireless, and it's a nice idea.
Mm.
But everything I saw on stage, because Huawei South Africa cleverly flew us at the time.
Yeah, the international. I thought about that while it was going on internationally. Yeah. So that, you know, they could justify showing you all the same stuff that you already read about online. So, okay, so what are our two or three takeaways from what we take going into this event? So the one is we're interested to see if they're going to talk about the watch. The other is Harmony OS is critically important at this stage for their survival as a company. But just in general, I feel for the future of digitization, I think Harmony is a critically important third option, you know, in the world. And what else we need to look out for? We need to see how good this band actually is. I think it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
But as we all know, the hardware is only as good as the app that it partners up with. So it'll be interesting to see if they've got a completely new app, which they might do if it has to run on Harmony, or if they've managed to get integration with somebody else's app, Google. What's it called? Google Fit.
Yeah, highly unlikely. But so I will be grilling Akram Mohammed on all of these things. So, amazing price. What is it again?
1699.
1699. How does the Band 6 differ from the Watch Fit?
So, with the Band 6, majority of the features that the Watch Fit has, the Band 6 also has. It just has a smaller screen size, uh-huh, and it lacks the GPS functionality.
Okay.
Because what we have found is that for most people who are using this to exercise at home, to maintain their fitness levels, they're not normally keeping a GPS track of that. So we have the option of both. It sits, I think, together and it can run quite well. For somebody that needs that, they have the choice and they go for the Fit. And for the others, you got the Band 6, but more accessible.
Okay. And then, how does the SuperSport partnership work? Are you rolling out a separate app that the management can monitor the players with?
So all of it is going to be, they're going to be using the actual Huawei Health app.
Okay.
And this is at the current stage. Yeah. So when we discussed with SuperSport United as a football club, they wanted to be able to check sleep patterns. Yeah. They wanted to check the health, the lifestyle, general stuff. All of those things are already catered for in the Huawei Health environment and health application.
Okay.
So that's something that we will be able to do.
Yeah.
But with our consultation with them, we will be looking at what other ways we can optimize and perhaps in future take it to the next level. But that's something we need to be in a collaboration with to understand their needs and then develop on. I think for the consumers and the fans of SuperSport United, there's something that's really exciting because you will get customized watch faces and themes and all of those things for your football club that you'll be able to access on the watch on the Band 6 as well as on the Huawei App Store. So that's something that's an additional extra.
Okay. Software-wise, are we going to be seeing improvements to the Huawei Health app? And how will the Band 6 live in a Harmony OS world?
So, of course, software is constantly improving. If you look at the health app in its current form, to let's go back just 2 years ago, it's leaps and bounds ahead. And I mean, just 2 years ago also, we didn't even have compatibility and we couldn't even share that data with Discovery Health.
Mm.
Now we are one of their top vendors on their platform. So that is something we're constantly looking at. Unfortunately, I can't give you what we're working on, but you would see more improvements coming during the course of this year, in fact. When it looks at the Harmony OS and the world itself, Harmony OS is an operating system that we have for a fully connected device, a seamless AI life, which we talk about often.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not just restricted to watch. That's restricted to IoT, it's smart homes and smart hubs, in-car entertainment. So what we are trying to do is we're trying to improve your lifestyle at every touch point.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly watch will be included as part of that ecosystem.
And Band 6 is part of that.
Our entire wearable range is part of that, yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking if it's a good investment for the
Okay.
Thank you very much, Akram.
Okay.
And moving on to other things. Wait, one big takeaway from Harmony OS. So they went into like detail about the app management, background app management, and they used the iPhone and they were like, if you use an app or you're searching for something in an app and then that takes you to like, you go and search something on the web, and when you go back to the app, then that page must like reload and it's gone. Whereas there's no closing of background apps on Harmony OS. And I was like, do you have infinite RAM?
Yeah.
Like,
or things going to go to sleep, which is also possible. I mean, for years, for those who don't know, the iPhone wouldn't do multitasking. So you couldn't keep multiple apps open. You had to open the app, use it. And when you moved on to the next app, it would close the previous app, which sounds like weird to us in retrospect, especially, you know, coming from a computer environment where you expect everything to keep running. But that resulted in phenomenal battery and life and, you know, phenomenal economical use of your resources and so on. So I don't know what all mean. I don't know.
I don't know, but Huawei, they've always aggressively killed background tasks. But that's enough about that. Gavin, it was Computex. Dr. Lisa Su from AMD, she was on stage, and this was her quote. AMD has partnered with industry leader Samsung for several years to accelerate graphics innovation in the mobile market. And we are happy to announce that we will bring custom graphics IP, intellectual property, to Samsung's next flagship mobile SoC with ray tracing and variable rate shading capabilities.
Okay, well, that's a big bloody claim, because up to now, AMD has been dragging quite far behind the rest of the market in terms of ray tracing. So even though its main processors have caught up and surpassed the likes of Intel and others, its graphics capability has fallen way behind the likes of NVIDIA. And now it's looking to catch up. But, you know, that's a very interesting timing on that statement, because at the same time, Intel is trying to get its graphics chip off the ground also in this week. Mm. So they've been promising this for a while. Okay, but all it means is, I mean, I wonder what it means for the desktop computing experience if the system on a chip in a phone gets upgraded. What does it mean for desktop computing experience?
I think they're obviously talking about Exynos 2200, which is the right. next upcoming chip from Samsung to replace Exynos 2100, which is in the S21 family. So I'm thinking that Samsung's definitely going to be launching kind of like MacBook-style devices running on that new mobile processor.
Right. Interesting. And
what's most interesting is that the next Google Pixel, the Pixel 6, that is slated to move away from Qualcomm and use its own Whitechapel chips. But it's also said, rumored, that Samsung is producing those Whitechapel chips. So that might be the Exynos 2200 running with this new AMD graphics cores with the RDNA 2 technology built into it.
All right. The takeaway for the listeners, if you're getting a bit confused between Exynos and Samsung and AMD and Intel and graphics and NVIDIA, if you're getting confused about all these things, the takeaway is that the mobile processor market and the desktop processor market and the laptop processor market and the graphics card processor market are all converging together in one thing. I mean, Apple still stands aside from the rest of the market, but, you know, if Intel launches better graphics, which they're working on now, if AMD is helping to get better graphics onto the Samsung chip, what we're seeing is that the traditional desktop chip makers and mobile chip makers, all that IP is kind of all mixing up together, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But this all feeds into our view of the phone becoming a better desktop computer.
Mm. Also, very sad news for everyone who spent a lot of money on S21s and S21 Ultras, because, those Exynos 2100s are going to be very obsolete very quickly in the very near future.
But everyone's chasing Apple. It's interesting that Apple set a high water mark for processing, and now at least everyone's got something to aim for, you know.
They always do. They always do. Talking about other new developments, Xiaomi. Gavin, I say no. There's a strong nope from me. I saw the stuff on Twitter. I was like, 200 watts, 120 watt wireless, 200 watt wired charging, like full charge in 8 minutes, like 50% charging, like 3 minutes. Like, what? No.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, okay, Xiaomi, well, all these Chinese manufacturers, Oppo, Xiaomi, even Huawei, to a certain extent, have always been experimenting with how fast they can pour current into the phone without blowing it up. Okay, they've been pushing the envelope for years without actually bringing down an airliner, although that could be on the cards somewhere. So the latest is Xiaomi with its 200-watt charging. Now, just for reference, most chargers are around 20 or 30 watts. And then you get extreme chargers, which are around 60 watts, which is 65 watts is the current peak. But Xiaomi has now introduced a 200-watt charger for the phone, which charges the phone full in 8 minutes. But it's only been done in a sort of a laboratory environment. It's not a production phone. It's a phone whose battery has been specially adapted for this. But it's a proof of concept. That means you can charge a phone fully in 8 minutes without blowing anything up so far. And wirelessly in 15 minutes, which is hell of a impressive. Okay.
There was some chatter on Twitter around it. And there were a couple of guys who raised a good point where it's like, yes, it's probably going to mean hell for like battery health and longevity. But it's not like we cannot replace phone batteries.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, but I also think, I mean, I don't need my phone to charge in 8 minutes. 20 minutes would be good. Even 30 minutes would be good, you know, because this way you can just top up charge through the day. You could just give little 10-minute bursts of charge and your battery will always be viable for the next few hours. So, you know, I think 200 watts is an interesting sort of place to be, but I cannot believe this can even be vaguely safe. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's crazy. Gavin, One Life Insurance. Hmm.
Now, you have a bit of experience of One Life, right?
Yes.
You interviewed the founder, I think. Yeah,
that's LifeQ. Yeah. But we'll get to that. So One Life, which is the insurance company, they released a product earlier, or towards the end of last year, with the Galaxy Watch Active 2, where you get the Galaxy Watch Active 2 on the special plan, and then your fitness metrics and all that stuff will decrease your life insurance premium.
Because it's feeding all that data back to One Life.
Yes, it's showing like how awesome you are in like getting your wellness into shape and all that
crap. So in the way that today Discovery gives you free lattes and things like that, One Life is actually reducing your premium using that same kind of data gathering.
And then like upping your value, your personal value. The more you invest in yourself, the more valuable you are, and you're paying less for that.
Okay.
So now One Life is now harnessing the LifeQ technology. So the LifeQ heart rate monitor lens thing is inside of the Galaxy Watch Active 2. They just received some funding as well. They secured some
funding.
Some funding. It's a proudly South African kind of startup. They operate out of Switzerland now, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yes.
Not Stellenbosch, Switzerland.
But they were founded in Stellenbosch. They have very, very strong roots in South Africa. And this new thing, they've launched a COVID-19 screening app that will flag COVID-19 before symptoms are experienced. And then the Galaxy Watch Active 2 is designed to accurately measure users' heart rates, skin temperature, and other physiological indicators.
So what irritated me about this announcement was that they didn't tell you actually how they arrive at your pre-COVID diagnosis. But the fact that Samsung mentioned skin temperature, heart rate, you know, makes me think that it's got at least those two things involved.
And then SpO2 as well.
Yes, and SpO2. But there's an app, there's a whole app. I think it's obviously the One Life app you have to install. Then that will check for your symptoms. Yeah. We'll use the data gathered by the watch to check for your symptoms. The sad part about all this is that it's a Samsung Galaxy Watch Active 2, of which they sold maybe five in South Africa.
Maybe seven.
But you know,
I've seen a couple in the wild, which is bizarre.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, my feeling is it wasn't a roaring success as a product. Was it using Android Wear?
No.
Okay, so this is Tizen.
Yeah, but it was, what were the things? It was two strawberries heavy. It was as heavy as two.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, good gracious. Okay, so it was like, I mean, I'm sure it was a great product. It just, you know, it just didn't have the market penetration of an Apple Watch, or for that matter, a Fitbit. You know, it just didn't have that kind of market penetration.
I think like using it as like the centerpiece for life insurance, for like these, so really showing us how these metrics can be harnessed and improve our lives through clever app integrations, algorithms, all that stuff. It's an interesting case study. It's the way I feel about NFTs showing the potential of like smart contracting built into the blockchain technology.
This whole smart contract thing, when you tried to explain it to us last time, you lost me. But we shouldn't get back into it now. I just want to point out that when you walk around and you see everybody and their dog wearing an Apple Watch, you've got to know, I'm pretty sure 80% of these people did not put down 8,000 Rand for an Apple Watch. I think almost all of them are getting it through the Discovery plan, right? I would guess.
I think it's 75% of all Apple Watches sold are through Vitality.
Yeah, through the Discovery Vitality plan. So, you know, when you see people with Apple Watches, let's not get carried away about how successful these have been. If Discovery wasn't actively marketing the stuff, who the hell was going to put down 8,000 Rand on a watch? Because for that, in the traditional watch market, you could buy like a mega watch. You could probably buy a Tag or something.
To be fair, it's a better 8,000 Rand spend than the Fitbit Sense that is on my wrist right now.
Sure. No, okay. No, that goes without saying. Okay.
The Fitbit Sense is a great device, but 8,000 Rand
doesn't compare with an Apple Watch,
dude. It's steep,
and to their credit, Apple Watch has been improving bit by bit. It just amuses me that all the things it can't do that you assume it can do, and then over time they add all those features. Okay, but it doesn't matter. Our point is that these insurance companies are helping push these products into the market by subsidizing them price wise and so on. Very interesting.
Gavin, you want to drop some epic Apple versus Epic.
It's like when they put those names of celebrities together, like like, I don't know, Glennifer.
Benifer was a big one. Benifer's back, dude. Benifer is back, and I'm happy to see it.
Benifer. I hope you guys listening don't know who Benifer is, because
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston.
Okay. I don't want to go on an Apple rant. I've been ranting in my head all week, basically.
Really?
Okay. But here's one of my takeaways. Okay, let me just read out what I wrote here, because I won't be able to reproduce it. Apple patronizes you by telling you that you can't choose stuff outside of their app store to put onto your devices because you're a danger to yourself. Basically, you can't decide whether things are safe or not safe. We have to decide for you what's going to be best for you. And so we're going to be the gatekeepers on what you can and can't put on the devices that you own, that you paid for. Okay. If people try to tell you to stop installing this or that on your PC, you would be up in arms. But somehow we accept it when Apple tells us you can't have this and you can't have that. And, you know, everyone's giving Apple a free pass on this stuff because most people don't care enough, I suppose. Okay, so here's my second takeaway. Gavin to Apple. Apple, you should read the room. It's coming at you from every side. You're slowly losing the battle on making a walled garden as your business model. You know, you should figure out what you can actually do about not doing that, because clearly everybody is against you on this issue. You should read the room, pick up that sentiment. Apple to Gavin, we don't need to read the room. We own the room, and everybody's just jealous of our success. Everybody's trying to steal money from us, and we don't need to share anything with anybody. You know, that's kind of, and the reason they can get away with that kind of behavior in what's supposed to be an open and competitive market is because consumers endorse that view. Consumers have been turned into the kind of sheep who go, oh no, you're quite right. This must be best for me. You know, you're not really allowed to make that decision for yourself. That started with Steve Jobs and has just continued. But the dumbing down of consumers is key to the Apple business model and to their world domination plan. But I won't go on ranting now. I'll stop. Okay, I'm done.
No worries. You know where I stand on the Apple situation. I would love to see them defend themselves.
You are a counter-revolutionary, Lindsay Schuster. You are a counter-revolutionary, and you should be stopped. You are standing the way of the consumer revolution.
Okay. you know, you're talking to the guy who, like, advises people to not buy 20,000 Rand phones, right?
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Okay, what else you got for us, man?
Prime Video, the second most watched streaming service.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see how they're shaping up. Actually, everyone assumes that Netflix is just running away with the market, but it's not really the case. Amazon Prime, which is, you know, a much, I don't know, they don't get nearly as many headlines, nearly as much profile. They have 175 million subscribers. Netflix has 200 million. That's not such an enormous gap. But the difference, I suppose, that a lot of people are closing on them. So Disney only launched like last year, and already they have 100 million subscribers. So I think everybody's, you know, getting ready to pay multiple subscriptions going forward, as we do today. One for the Spotify, one for the Netflix, one for the, you know, Amazon, all these different premiums we're all going to be paying. But this was brought into sharp context when we discovered that Amazon was buying MGM, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, through which they got some really big franchises like James Bond, Rocky, RoboCop, you know, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is that Amazon is spending its way into this market. And they can do that because their pockets are, I don't know, infinitesimally deep from what we can tell. So, for example, we think they're spending about $1 billion to film a series for Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're spending their way to stay in competitive in the race. Mm.
Scott Galloway was saying, Professor Scott Galloway, that he did a back of the envelope kind of calculation, and it costs Amazon something stupid like 170 million to win an Emmy.
Whereas, oh, right. Okay.
Like, HBO only spends like 60 million.
Uh-huh.
So it's like they're doing it a lot more efficiently. They have better talent. Yeah. The talent is working harder. I to be honest, I'm really getting bad vibes from the streaming wars, where there's so much crap being just funneled through for the sake of it.
It's like a shotgun. They're just spraying you with content in the hope that something will become the next Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And at least Disney is getting it right where they
And Apple.
The weekly kind of rollout of episodes. Have you been watching the 1971, the year music changed everything?
No, but everyone's been telling me about it.
It is so good. That's on Apple TV Plus. Anyway, so I watched Cruella on the weekend.
Oh.
And although it was at least 70% better than I expected it to be, it's still a complete retconning of the Cruella de Vil character. That really didn't need to happen and doesn't jive well with...
It didn't need a backstory for Cruella, man, at all. Totally didn't need it. Although the lead actress, what's her name?
Emma
Stone. Really dig her.
It's a fantastic movie.
I don't dig
her
in those kind of roles. I
enjoyed it thoroughly. And then I also watched Peter Rabbit at the cinema. Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
At the cinema?
Ooh. Dude, remember my TV that blew? So we went to drop that in the e-waste bin. Uh-huh. And then we're coming out, and my son was like, I would like to go to the cinema. And I was like, you know what? Daddy got paid. Let's go to the cinema.
Nice.
And I head off to the bathroom, and my wife heads off, and she buys the tickets and does all the Vitality stuff. So besides for the fact that my five-year-old was not eligible to see a PG movie, a parental guidance movie, which is freaking crazy, my nine-year-old was then not treated as a child, even though she's under 12, so she didn't get free.
Uh-huh.
Dude, all told, with popcorn, it was over 500.
No, there's just no way. These people have got to be put out of business. There's just no way. They are completely misguided in what value they think they're providing to the market. I mean, how stupid can you be? They're pricing themselves out of the market. They have no hope of recovery. They must be laid to rest, man.
Yeah, dude. And cinemas. It was painful. I didn't expect to have to maybe hawk a intestine, internal organ.
I've had the same experience. You go, you get your popcorn, and when you see what you're paying for the privilege, it's like, this didn't make sense. The value of sitting in the big screen experience was just not 500 rand to me. I mean, it just wasn't, no matter what.
Yeah.
Maybe once a year I can do that for 500 rand. But they can't survive on
becoming once. Frankly enough, that was with all Discovery or Vitality discounts applied. And that's also a bit of a scam now.
Yep,
I don't know what the guys are trying to, what fast one they're trying to pull. Very unhappy with that whole situation. But not as unhappy as India is with Mark Zuckerberg right now.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the story, man. I just, India has been hating on Facebook for some time. Facebook tried to roll out its free internet program in India. And India basically threw them out the country or threw that program out the country. Now they are threatening to sue WhatsApp, not Facebook, but obviously WhatsApp owned by Facebook, because all these new regulations that WhatsApp is throwing up directly contravenes people's rights in India. And the point here is that if you were Yugoslavia and you decided to sue WhatsApp, no one would take any notice of you.
Yeah.
But because you're India and because you've got 1.5 billion people to deal with, it's like a real market, and there's real danger of them being locked out of that market, So people tend to take a lot more, pay a lot more attention when it's a significant market like India. We'll see where this goes. I'm pretty sure they're not going to end up actually suing WhatsApp. They're just threatening to sue them at the moment.
So WhatsApp actually put out the statement very quietly by a lot of people in the week, where they're just going to do sweet bugger all if you do not accept the policy. They're going to maybe harass you with a little bit of strongly worded pop-ups.
Strongly worded, eh?
But they're just going to continue to do nothing
and not
limit your WhatsApp experience at all.
Unfortunately for them, there's a number of competitors in the market. And let's remember that in a place like the US, WhatsApp is not nearly as big of a deal, because they've got other messaging systems. And because the iPhone penetration is so high in European countries, and in the US, it's more like 50-50. It's only here in South Africa where, a few percent of the population have iPhones and everyone else uses WhatsApp. That's not the case in other parts of the world. WhatsApp is not as powerful as it is here.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with all of that stuff. The people need to pull Facebook into line.
Yeah, sure.
There was that whole thing where Instagram had to readjust its algorithm because it was just hiding any Palestinian content, pro-Palestinian content, which was crazy. We had the conversation last night at the dinner table, and it's like, if I didn't have to use Facebook for work, I wouldn't use Facebook
at all. Yeah. Now, sadly, I mean, I find myself using Facebook as my default social media, but then I've consciously removed myself from most kinds of social media. The value I get out of it for the time that needs to go into it just never made sense for me. Facebook is working great for me. Maybe it's an age thing. Maybe the tempo at which information arrives suits me. I can ignore Facebook for a week and it'll be fine. I don't, you know, I check it almost every day, but I can just drop in and drop out. I don't need to contribute, you know, and I can keep tabs on people I do actually care about. So,
although your pictures from your desert soiree on the Oppo Reno 5 were quite magnificent for someone who says he doesn't take good pictures.
Oh, that's coming from the master. Guys, it's worth going to Facebook just to check out Lindsay's pictures, but you can probably get Lindsay's pictures other places as well.
Instagram is where I like to go.
Ah, right. Okay.
I'm a bit of, a bit of a fee. Not so much anymore. I try to like limit my output on the gram. But yeah, I do like it as a place to kind of showcase my creativity and stuff. In other news, 1st of June was an end for many things. No more free Google Photos storage. And LG has officially stopped manufacturing smartphones and is starting the rollout now of overhauling their smartphone manufacturing lines and turning them into appliance manufacturer lines. And let's just have a moment of silence.
Yeah, let's have a moment of silence. I am actually genuinely saddened by this whole affair, man. Damn it.
Yeah.
That's a minute. Silence.
A moment. Okay. I said a moment.
Moment, right. What is Didi, man? What is Didi?
Didi, oh goodness. Didi is a Uber kind of competitor that's new to the market. Didi, bro.
Okay, so it's a ride hailing service.
Yeah. It's giving you all the things that kind of Uber lacks, so it's better kind of tools to keep track of like who your driver was, and for people to keep track of you on your trip, that sort of thing. It's addressing a lot of the security and safety concerns that we've had in the past by what was the other one? It was Uber, and what was the other ride hailing service in South Africa?
It had something to do with the Bolt. Zebra. Bolt. Wasn't Bolt the electric car we tried to develop?
No, Bolt is Chevrolet's electric car. I think it was Bolt. But there was major issues there with like sexual harassment problems and all that sort of stuff. Didi is definitely presenting itself as the safer alternative to those guys.
The other thing I've heard is that because people's movements have been so heavily curtailed and because we have curfews and all these other things, and because we have economic depression falling upon us, a lot of Uber drivers have actually left the business because it was just, I mean, for the last year, who the hell were they driving around? Nobody. You know, it's only now that people are starting to move around properly again. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. And that's kind of my story. I promise that this Friday, my Microsoft Surface Pro 7 video will be up. It's a short one. It's an interesting take. That will be that. Also, an AirPop mask kind of review, measuring it against the LG PureCare personal air purifier. And then another design of like a fitness focused kind of face mask, especially now that we're in the third wave. I think that content is very relevant now. That's me. You can find all of that on thatopinionguy.co.za, that opinion guy on YouTube. I'm Sharpshooters, SCHUTTERS on social medias. And that's me. Gavin, what's you?
Well, I had a very very positive experience with the Hisense H50 phone. Now, just before that, the Hisense phone I experienced just before that was a bit of a disaster, if I'm going to be frank. The H50 was actually a fabulous phone. I was reluctant to switch to the phone I'm using now, which is the Nokia 5.4. I really enjoyed that Hisense H50. So I'll be doing a more detailed review of that on Tech Radar sometime this week. You can look out for that. I think this is, I haven't actually got a price for this phone, but I think it's going to be very competitively priced. Things are very, very intense around that 5,000 Rand mark. So we'll see what they achieve. The cameras on this phone were fantastic. Okay, please send us an email and tell us what you'd like us to talk about to overclockedza@gmail.com. Overclockedza is spelt exactly like it sounds, and it's at gmail.com. Please send us a message. We'd really like to hear from you. Okay,
and we have Clubhouse invites if you want.
Ah, yes.
Email us for those as well. Cheers. Cool.
Cheers, guys.